If you have your Bibles, first Joshua chapter number 5. Let's all stand in reverence reading of God's Word, if you would. Joshua chapter number 5. We'll start reading about verse number 1. This has been on my heart the other day. Don't know why. We'll just make sure we mind the Lord with this. Amen. Joshua chapter number 5, verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. And at that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins." And verse number 4, "And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. And all the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even of the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised." Verse number 6, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto the fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom ye raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month and even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of that land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn. And in the selfsame day." Now watch this. Here it is. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of that land of Canaan." Watch this now. "That year." Father, in the name of sweet Jesus, I pray that you'll help us today, God, just to worship thee, dear God. Help us, Lord, with thy word. Help Brother Vinoy where he's at, Lord. Bless him and touch him. Thank you for his family. Thank you for this church right here, Lord. It's been some time since we've been here. But now, Lord, I pray that you'd anoint these lips with clay for a little while as we stand to preach thy word. God, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice something here. We see that the timing of Gilgal is in chapter 14, verse 19. It says there, "And the people came up out of Jordan the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho." Now you got to understand something. This was their new year, amen. Jewish calendar does not start in January. Jewish calendar starts in April, amen. It starts when resurrection. That's why we have Easter in that time of year. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And here's what I'm saying. This is their new year. We see in verse number 12 of chapter number 5 how it said this, that year. It tells us that they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. They were tired of wandering. Amen. They were tired of the rut. How many of you, you're tired of wandering? Say amen right there. I'm telling you, we've been saved for a while. And if you ain't careful, you'll get in a rut. Amen. You'll get in a rut in church. We'll get in a rut. And we'll get used to how things are. We'll get used to status quo. I'm going to tell you something, honey. I don't want to ever get used to status quo, amen. I don't want to ever come and think it's this, and go home and that's it, come back to, hey, I want God to do something in my life. How about you, friend, amen? I want God to do something. But we see here there was, had been in the rut, the same old, but this was going to be that year. Everyone needs that year. Am I right about it, friend? I hear that this is your 50th year coming up of this church, amen? 50th year. Everybody has to have a that year. Noah had that year, didn't he? Amen. He had a time when he lived in all that sin and all that mess. And God got him over all that mess. Amen. And he came into a new environment, a new place and everything. The children of Israel they have a jubilee year every 50 years. Am I right about it? Amen. Everybody needs that year. Have you ever said to yourself, this is going to be my year? I know it's not New Year's, but what this tells me, we can have that year any time of our life. Amen. We know when you have a baby, that'll change your life. How many know what I'm talking about right there? Amen. And listen, and that's one of those years. You can have that year where you say, hey, I'm gonna stop this, but I'm gonna start this. I'm gonna change some things this year, amen. Are you with me this morning, church? How many of you want one of those that years, amen? I just believe I'll make it up in my mind that I'm gonna have that year, amen. But we see here how they came across the Jordan River and they quit eating the manna. I love manna. I love chocolate cake. Say amen right there. I love biscuits. I'm a biscuit-eating preacher. Amen. And it shows. I'm a bodybuilder. I'm working real good on this body. Amen. Trying to make it. You'll get that after a while. But anyway, hey, what I'm saying, listen here. Hey, too much chocolate cake will make you sick. Can you imagine for 40 years they've been eating manna every day, day in, day out. Now, I'm not saying, listen, God's good to us, and God said He'd provide for them. But I tell you what, after 40 years, sometimes that same old can get a little bit weary on you. Amen. That's right. That's right. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach on just simply this thought. Is it going to be that year? Can this be, Bible ways, that year? Friend, I pastored one time, and when we pastored, we took a church that had 12 people, and the Lord blessed in a mighty way. We went from 12 to 160 in about 5-6 years' time. And I just made my mind up, in spite of the naysayers, and in spite of those that said it couldn't be done, in spite of the same old, I was going to have one of those years, amen. And we started praying, and we'd have all-night prayer meetings, and we got on fire for God, wanting to see souls saved by the good grace of God. And listen, that year, it was the last year I pastored there, the church, we had 83 souls saved by the good grace of God. Somebody help me right there, amen. That's all right. That's all right, amen. I'll tell you something. Some of you sit on the pew, and listen, you're just a pew rider, amen. You need to have that year when you're going to make it up in your mind that you're going to serve God, amen. That you're going to do more for the Lord this year than you did last year, amen. Hey, you ought to say, hey, you ought to purpose in your heart, hey, I'm going to read my Bible through. Maybe not in a year, I'm going to try to do it sooner or later, whatever. It takes me about a year and a half to read my Bible through. I'm a slow reader. But this year, I made my mind up, this is going to be that year that I'm going to do it in less time. I started in June. I want to read it through in 6 months. Are you going to do it, preacher? Probably not, but I'm going to be close. Amen. Are you listening to me? At the first of 2017, I said, Lord, I want it to be that year. I want to see some things happen that I've never seen happen before. Can I say to you, church, I saw some amazing things happen in 2017. Amen. God has used us in the prisons. God has used us to preach camp meetings and church revivals. God's used us in many, many different aspects. I claimed this year for my boys. Amen. Well, one got out and left us and moved away. He moved away from mom and daddy. That wasn't a good thing. Well, it is a little bit, but you understand he didn't do it the right way. You understand what I'm talking about, amen? But I got one I was praying for also, and he got saved in August. I say, praise the Lord, amen. I don't know about you, but I want to have one of those years, don't you? How many of y'all have one of them years that everything's went wrong? Everything seemed like it's costed you something. Seemed like your health went down. Seemed like your wealth went down. I seemed like your church goings went down. Are you with me this morning? Amen. I'm trying my ever-loving best to help you this morning. Amen. Oh, we need one of those this year, that year. Amen. Let's look at some things this morning. I'll not hold you long. My wife done said it'll be 1 o'clock before we got out of here. I'm going to try my ever-loving best to get you out before. I wouldn't do that. Some of y'all done fell off the wagon. But anyway, I wouldn't keep you to one. What goes on as the Lord says, amen. Number one, I want you to notice, is this going to be that year, number one, that you cross over something? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look at chapter 4, verse number 19. And the Bible says there, but I'm in the wrong chapter. Let me back up right here. 4:19 says, and the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. They crossed over something. What did they cross over? Well, they crossed over that river. Amen. I'll tell you something, children of God. We've seen songs about when I cross that river. A lot of people think a lot of times that Jordan River is going over into the promised land of heaven. But I beg to differ with you, friend. Going over Jordan into the Canaan land is going into your land of rest where God is going. Somebody help me right there. Where God's going to settle you down at. Amen. God's give you a place to work and war in. Amen. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. It blesses my heart when people find the will of God and they find where they're supposed to be and they're doing what God wants them to do. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes you just got to cross over that river. What are you talking about? Jordan here, verse number 1, said chapter 5. Cross over something. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites were by the sea, heard that the Lord dried up the waters of Jordan. You say, preacher, I don't get it. Hang on a minute. They got to cross over Jordan. I got to look at that word up, Jordan. Jordan means to descend. Literally to go downward. How many of y'all with me this morning? I'm going somewhere. Just hang on. All the kings of the Canaanites, their hearts didn't melt until they heard the children of Israel had got over Jordan. Now, one place the spy, that Rahab, the harlot, said, we heard that y'all was coming. They've been hearing it for 40 years. Can I tell you, some people look at us and they've been hearing for years how we're going to get on fire, how we're going to read our Bible, how we're going to win people to the Lord. Amen. Are you listening to me? How the world, but they won't take you serious until you get over some things. Amen. Jordan means downward. It means to go down. Hey, when you going to get over that stuff that's taking you down? Amen. How many of y'all got some things in your life bringing you down? Amen. Somebody help me right there. Anybody got any depression? Anybody have a problem with something that seems like it's hard to get over? It's hard to get through that thing? I mean, it's bringing you down, amen? Hey, I'm telling you this morning, hey, this could be that year that you cross over, amen? Oh, you got to get over that river. That descends, that takes you down. Not only that, the examples of downfalls, but that keeps you down, amen? I promise you, every soul in this building this morning, we all got a thorn in the flesh. We've all got something in our life that brings us down, that tears us down. Are you listening to me? But I don't know about you. I believe I'd make my mind up to let it be that year that I'm going to get over that stuff. Amen. Hey, there's one thing. We can preach on the sins you do see. It's easy to get up here and preach on smoking and all these things, overeating and things that we see, drinking and adultery and fornication, all that stuff that you see people do. But what about those sins inside we don't see? What about that bitterness? Amen. Somebody done me wrong back there. Somebody help me right there. Somebody done me wrong way back there. Amen. Don't sit here and act like you ain't never had no bitterness. Don't act like you ain't never had nobody get up, make you upset, amen. We all have, amen. But this is going to be that year I'm going to get over that river, amen. Not only get over that river, but the reproach. Cross over the river and the reproach. Look at verse number 9. And the Bible said, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Our dear brother was talking this morning in Sunday school about how the mind, do you realize, and he was right on it, the mind is the biggest battlefield you and I have. Our mind is where wars are fought and won and lost just right here between our ears. Amen. I don't know about you, been saved. I've been married 28 years. My wife said, you don't never remember that. I do remember. 28 years. Amen. To the same one. Hallelujah. Amen. Same one. 28 years. Been saved 26 years. Been preaching 25 years. But somebody always wants to go fishing in my past and drag up something on me. Y'all ever had anybody like that? Amen. Huh? They want to drag up. The devil ever want to drag up something on you that you messed up with? Has the devil ever wanted to just drag you through the mud? But, hey, listen, the reproach of Egypt's talking about that. The reproach, reproach means the disgrace, the rebuke, the shame, the taunt, amen. Can I say he's a mean devil, amen? He's a taunting devil, amen. He'll talk junk. Y'all ever get ready for church or maybe you're going to do something, you're going to get up in the choir and sing and they'll say, what are you doing up there? What business you got up there? Church workers, have you ever had the devil say, why are you doing that? It does me all the time. You ain't got no business in that pulpit. If people really knew you, they wouldn't want you to preach. And I just turned it around on them. I said, devil, if I really knew them, I probably wouldn't want to preach them either. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. Ain't nobody in here got no S on their chest and you're super sane. Amen. We all have things that's a reproach to us that'll tear us down and try to drag us back to Egypt. Amen. But I'll tell you something about the grace of God. I want to make it up in my mind that this is going to be that year. Amen. That I get over some things. You know, I know people, I preach in a lot of churches. I mean, I preach in a pile of churches now that pastors have gone and whatever reason and people want a pastor or whatever and they're looking for and I go fill in for somebody a lot of times and a lot of people can't get over what happened 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. Amen. A church will never go forward for the glory of God until you cross that river. Yeah, man. Somebody help me right there. Y'all got some rivers you need to cross. That's why you're quiet, amen. You can't shout amen because you got some rivers. You got some reproach you got to get over, amen. Is this going to be that year, amen? Number 2 this morning, moving right along. Got to cross over some things. Number 2, got to cut out some things. Uh-oh. Verse number 2, watch this now. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Let me just say what circumcision is. It's cutting out the flesh. Can I say to you people, and me too, we live in a fleshy society, amen. We've got Facebook, we've got Tweet, we've got FaceTime, MeTime. I'm looking for one day when we go to church and a preacher sitting here taking a selfie saying, I'm in church preaching and tweet somebody, amen. Yeah. Preacher, I don't think we... Oh, it's coming, amen. Yeah. Some of you sitting here right now doing it while I'm preaching, amen. Yeah. You're telling everything I'm saying, amen. Are you listening to me? But here we got... We live in a flesh society. It's all about me. Look at the entertainment industry. It's all about me. Look at our football players. It's all about me. Am I a good gosh? Help me right here. Look in our churches. It's all about me. I've heard preachers tell me when a pastor, well, you didn't get me to come preach revival. It ain't about you. I've had them tell me, well, I thought so-and-so would get saved while I was a preaching. It ain't about you. Amen. Amen. Preacher, preach on. Amen. Somebody help. Are you listening to me? We're living in a time when there's too much flesh. We got our things that we want to do, every one of us. We ain't got time for God. We ain't got time for God's man. We ain't got time for God's word. Amen. I'll tell you something. If we're going to have revival in America, we're going to have to cut the flesh out. Amen. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, about some things. Well, when I'm talking about the flesh, look at verse number 6. And the Bible says there, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. We got to cut out the wilderness. What are you saying, preacher? The wilderness was because they disobeyed God. They had a because in their life. Look on down through there. It said, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed. Why? Because they obeyed not the Lord. How many people today, I wonder, in our churches across America has got a because? I do this, but I can't because. Brother, would you teach Sunday school? I would, preacher, but I can't because. Well, would you take the nursery? Oh, I can't do that. There's no way. Because. Am I right? Somebody help me right there. I ain't talking to Brother Vanoy. I'm just preaching what God laid on my heart. Amen. This might not be helping you, but it's helping me. Amen. You got to cut that wilderness out. That wonder why. Why do people wander in their lives? Why does it not seem like they cannot get a handle on what God wants for them in their life? It's because they are wandering. And that word, what I just said, because. I'd serve the Lord more, but I can't because of that wife. You remember Adam and Eve done that game, didn't they? It's your fault, God, because. You gave me that woman, because. You get that devil. Are you listening to me? People won't serve. We got this wilderness mentality. Wondering, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? I'm bad about it sometimes, amen. It's because of wilderness. I can't do this because, amen. Hey, listen, I'll tell you something. If we'll junk our becauses, amen, we can have that year, amen. Because. The wilderness. We need to cut the wilderness out. Not only the wilderness, that wandering, just aimlessly wandering. We need to cut out the worldliness. Yeah, man. Verse number 4 in the Bible says, watch this. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. They died in the wilderness. Why? Why? Egypt, somebody help me right. Egypt is a type of the world or the old ways. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying this right here. It took about a day to get them out of Egypt. But it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. How many of you have been to the Walmart or some supermarket or restaurants even bad about it? And they'll play just a short tune of something you used to listen to lost. All of a sudden, your head, your mind done gone crazy. You done know what it was. Am I right about it? Come on now. Don't act like y'all been saved forever. Like y'all ain't never listened. Some of y'all seasoned saints that's got silver hair. Y'all act like y'all ain't never listened to nothing bad. Amen. You've been listening to Victor Jesus all your life, and you know that's a lie. Amen. Back in your day was the Beatles and Elvis Presley, amen. Some think he's still the king and he ain't the king. Say amen right there. Amen. My boy was telling me about somebody he's friends with. Said, boy, this girl, she loves Elvis. And I'm like, even your generation's still affected by that? But y'all know what I'm talking about. We got so much of the world in us. We got to cut that world out of us. Amen. I remember one time I was preaching in a youth meeting years ago, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm bringing it up like this. I was preaching a youth revival,
And I stepped outside. I was going to work. I was preaching at night. And I stepped outside. And a frog jumped in front of me. And the first thing I said was, Budweiser. Because I'd heard them. Y'all don't laugh at me. Y'all heard them commercials, didn't you? And I thought it was funny. Then God convicted me and said, you heathen. Why are you doing that? I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. God help me. And here's how I think outside the box. I'm just different. Amen. I'm just a different individual. I thought, God, give me something that I can counteract that stupid mess. And it came to me. They stole that from the Bible. Preacher, Pharaoh was laying in the bed that night, and them frogs was hollering, Bud, you better wise up. You ever thought about that? Amen. Everything we see or do, the devil takes it and he twists it and he corrupts it. Amen. He messes everything it's good up. Amen. I'll tell you something, friend. We got to cut the worldliness out of us. Amen. Now, I know we're in this world, but we don't have to be of this world. We don't have to think and act and do like this world. Man, it's dangerous now. If anybody gets talking politics now, it's dangerous. Amen. Am I right about it, son? I've had people about fall out with me. And I don't like talking politics, amen. I don't like getting in because the people get so messed up in it. Right is right is right is right, amen. Abortion's still wrong. These things, sodomites, still wrong. I don't care what the government says. I don't care if they don't know what bathroom they got to use. It's still wrong, amen. Amen. Somebody got to preach on it. But yet we look at them like they're so bad, but we got people sitting on the church pew doing just as much worldliness as some of that mess. Amen. I don't know about you, but is this going to be that year? Is this going to be that year for you and I that we cross over some things, that we cut out some things? I'm telling you, church, there's some things that we just got to let God cut out of us. Amen. Let the God of heaven take that Holy Ghost knife right there, that surgical blade. Usually I carry a pocket knife when I'm preaching. Not because I'm going to cut you or anything, but an old preacher told me this and I liked it. I didn't bring it today. I got my box cutter and I didn't want you to bring that. And you think, anyway, long story. Anyway, the reason I carry a pocket knife while I'm preaching in churches is to remind me, not only can that knife hurt you, but it can heal you. He said, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, you go to the doctor. He pulls a knife out all the time. You don't think nothing about it. How many of y'all been cut on by the doctor? And you thank God for it. Now, if I pulled that going to cut on you and I said, I'm a brain surgeon. I want to operate. You're going to say, No, sir. You're listening to me. This same word of God, it can hurt you or it can heal you. Am I right? Let God do a surgery on you. Let God get in that heart. Let him take that word of God and cut that mess out of you. Amen. I'm not what I should be, and you ain't either. I'm not where I should be, and you ain't either. But here's the thing, I'm striving and I'm trying, I'm marching toward what God... Amen. Somebody help me right there. I'm trying my ever-loving best to be what God wants me to be, amen. What I have a problem with is just right here, most of our church people, most people say they're saved, they're saved and they're satisfied. And they're sitting down. And that's all they're going to do. Amen. They ain't going to do no more, and they ain't going to do no less. It's kind of like what Jesus said, if they ask you to go a mile, go twain with them. We don't know what it's like to be a second mile or Christian anymore. The Jewish customs was the young men knew exactly where a mile was, and if a Roman soldier came and said, tote my backpack, all right, I'll do it. And they went that first mile, here's the first mile, I'm done, here you go, you can have it back. Jesus said, that's easy, that's duty. But he said, if they can pay you to go one, he said, go another mile. Say, hey, you know what? I believe I'll tote that thing another mile for you. You know what that's going to do? That's where we win souls at. When we go that second mile. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm trying to help you. I try to be a second mile or Christian. Am I? A lot of times I'm not. A lot of times I'm coming home from prison. I'm done. I'm ready to go see mama. I'm done. I've done priest. I don't want to see a Bible. I don't want to see a suit. I want to go home. I want to put my work boots on. I want to go in the basement, do woodworking. I don't want to see nobody. I don't want to hear them at. You understand? I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, listen, are you listening to me? I'm in church 5-6 days a week, preaching and everything. There's times I just want a break from, I want to go home and see mama. Amen. And then I'm riding down the road, and the Lord said, hey, Don't forget that one in the drive-thru. Don't forget to hand that in the drive-thru a track. Don't forget to tell that in at Walmart, Jesus love. Don't forget to tell that officer when he pulls you over that Jesus love. Hard to tell him when he's pulling you over, amen. Jesus loves you, amen. Now, if you're doing it, get off a ticket, it don't work. Say amen. I've tried that too, amen. You have too, amen. It just don't work. But I'm saying this morning, listen, hey, you and I need to have that year. I don't know about you, but I've made my mind up. I'm going to have that year, amen. So we see, number one, that they cut out something or crossed over something. Number two, they cut out something. Are you ready for this? Number three, they consumed something. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You know what's wrong with a lot of people? I don't know if y'all deal with people with addictions or anything you do in life. It don't have to be an addiction. If you get rid of something in your life that's bad, you have to replace it with something that's good. Amen. You remember the story where in the Bible where that one said that the house was swept and garnished and empty? There was no need to repair. I don't know about y'all, but I need working on, don't you? It was swept and garnished. I don't know about y'all. My house needs cleaning from time to time. Amen. My wife is a clean fanatic. She's going to get on to me for telling you this. She is. She's got that OCD. She's OCD on steroids, son. Amen. I'm telling you what. Amen. We wash the groceries down. No, I better not tell you that. But anyway, we wash it down with Clorox. Are you listening to me? I thank God she's that way. She'll work her fingers to the bone every day cleaning the house and cleaning up stuff. Next day, I said, why are you doing it again? She said, this house gets so... She said, there's little trolls that come in here and mess this place up. I know she's thinking one's named Jeff and one named Jonah. Amen. But it ain't us. How many know what I'm talking about? You ladies know what I'm talking about. Why is it you can dust today and dust will be there tomorrow? There's always a constant need of cleaning. Amen. Us as Christians, there's always a constant need of... Am I right about it? We're walking through this world like you're talking about, getting dusty and dirty, and we got to have a need. Hey, I'm going to have this year. Then I'm going to... Listen, when you get rid of something, you got to put something in its place. You say, what are you talking about? Remember over there, he said it was swept and garnished and all that stuff. What they did, they didn't put something in its place. They didn't let Jesus take up housekeeping. If you're going to quit smoking, you got to replace it with something. Don't do it with biscuits because then you're going to gain weight. Amen. Hey, but listen, if you're going to get rid of one thing in your life, you got to consume some things. Amen. Let's see what they consumed here. Verse number 11, watch this now. And they did eat of the whole corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. I thought, my good night. I thought, man, couldn't they have had anything else besides old corn? Now, face value, I didn't really used to like or think much about that verse, but hang on just a minute. They had to consume some things. Are you with me this morning? They had to consume some things. Well, they crossed over some things. They cut out some things. And number three, they had to consume some things. First of all, I want you to notice the farm. Said there, old corn. That word corn means past. That is kept over. It means kept over. That means stored. You understand these barns were left there by the Canaanites. They had harvested all this corn and stored that stuff. I don't ever think about that at face value on this scripture until you get to studying out. They've come across the Jordan River. They've circumcised, cut some things out, and now they're going ahead with God's plan and God's program. They're doing what, and listen, the Canaanites didn't take them serious until they crossed over some things. Now they've run and they've left all these barns there full of old corn. Are you listening to me this morning? So here God is providing once again. Hey, when they got through some things and God's taking them somewhere, we see these barns are sitting there and they're full, amen. It was there for their taking, amen. I pulled up this morning and we stayed in the apartment, come down here and I heard one of the van drivers pull in and somebody said, what's that? Got another van. Well, what we need to get one. Filled the other two up and got three now. Is that what I heard? Amen. I wasn't no eavesdropping. I like hearing that. Why? Because there's some old corn out there left over for the taking. Amen. Hey, God's got you something, child of God. If you'll just cross over some things, if you'll start cutting out some things and make your mind up, you're going to have that year. Amen. He's got some things for you. I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. I want to ask you something. What's God got stored up for you? Huh? What has God got stored up for you in your life? Some old barns out there with old corn in it. Well, I preach, I don't want no old corn. Well, I'll tell you what, after eating manna for 40 years, son, I'd eat it if it was molded. Amen. Are you listening to me? But it didn't say there was molded. It said the old corn. What that tells me, it was there and it was ready for them to take. Preach, I don't get, hang on, he's got something for you. Just wait. It's just waiting for you to take it, amen. Child of God, listen to me this morning. God, hey, you sitting here and you just ain't sold out yet. You ain't crossed over some things. You ain't cut some things out. You ain't had that year. But if you'll have that year, God's got your farm sitting over there. I ain't talking about wealth and health and prosperity. I ain't talking about none of that. I'm just talking God's got some things you never thought he'd have, amen. One of our missionaries, Miss Eve, Brother Leach, you remember Brother Leach, came in from the prison the other day. Actually, I was preaching in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. I told him, you start this prison this night. I'll be there when I get there. He was with me that morning. He went on and started Frackville. And Brother Vanoy knows that prison well. And he got on up there. When I got there, he said, Brother, you need to sit down. I got to talk to you. I'm like, oh, my goodness. What has somebody said in prison? Why are we getting kicked out now? You understand? I thought the worst. I thought, what did you do? That's what I thought. What did you do? Tears in his eyes. He said, you ever hear about stuff happening to other people and you think it won't never happen for you? I said, oh, yeah. Y'all ain't like it. I am. I'm like, oh, how come I don't get it? We all like it, ain't we? You hear other people's blessings and how God's blessed them and you think, Lord, I'd just like just a little bit, a crumb, amen. Well, here's what he told me. He said, you got to sit down. He said his wife went to church that night. He said the preacher and the secretary said, hey, she works in the Christian school. His wife does at the church they go to. He said, we want to talk to you. He said, okay. He said, she works in the Christian school. He said, we want biscuits and bacon and eggs every morning for breakfast. She said, no problem. I can handle that. And they started laughing. They said, no, that's not why we called you in here. They had bought a van on Friday. And Brother Leach said, God, you're going to have to help us with this van. I can't do it, but we need this van. He went ahead and bought it. And Sunday night, the preacher told Miss Vanessa, his wife, said, hey, somebody in the church give $10,000 to go toward the purchase of your van. I don't know about y'all, son, $10,000. I told him right then, I said, I'm needing a new truck. Will you start praying for me? Amen. Yeah. Huh? Are y'all ever like them? You hear other people's testimonies and their stories, and you think, why can that not happen for me? Do you know why it don't? Because you ain't having one of those years. You've had the bad years. You've had the wandering years. You've had the wilderness years. You've had the worldly years. But now you've got to cross over some things. You've got to cut out some things. The Bible says, God said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Sometimes it's not a $10,000 blessing. It might be a health blessing. It might be your young. Oh, check it out. Jonah got saved on Thursday at this Bible camp I was preaching at. This is my blessing. Let me tell you about my old corn. Let me tell you about my barn for the taking. Are you listening to me? Hey, Jonah was under conviction, and I don't care if he'd got saved when I was preaching. Praise God, that'd been all right, amen. Hallelujah, but he didn't get saved while I was preaching. Jonah hooked up with his pastor. They went off down there. We was at the lake. They was doing canoeing. Jonah went off down to a picnic table. I said, why don't you go to get in the canoe? He started crying. I said, I ain't going down there. I'm afraid I'll fall in. I'm like, Jonah, you got to understand, Jonah ain't afraid of nothing. This boy brings copperheads to the house on a shovel, amen. He ain't afraid of nothing or nobody. Are you listening? That's Jonah, amen. Cuts trees down, one fell on his head, about killed him. He wants to go do it again. That's Jonah. But here he's afraid to go get in the canoe and canoe with them young people. And he went off down there. He was crying. And the pastor took him off down there. And they talked to him and led him to the Lord. I kind of knew what was going on. But here's the blessing. That pastor friend of mine that I met led him to the Lord. Used to be an inmate. He pulled time in prison. Oh, by the way, he was a murderer involuntary manslaughter, was on drugs and drunk and everything and wrecked and killed somebody. He pulled his time. He got saved in prison. Hallelujah, amen. Got saved in prison, amen. And God let a former inmate lead my boy to the Lord. You say, preacher, that don't do nothing for me. You ain't the one doing prison work. I am, amen. I'm just talking about the little things sometimes that God will put the ice in that old corn, amen. Praise God, there's a farm for you somewhere, child of God, if you'll just sell out and go for God, amen. Not only that, watch this, and I'll close with this. We said they consumed something. There was a farm there ready for them. I'm just telling you, God's got some things ready for you, child of God, if you'll sell out and go. Have that year, amen. You lost and undone, this could be your year if you get saved, amen. But then the fruit, we see verse number 12 said, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of all the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of that land of Canaan that year. What are you talking about? I'm talking about the fruit there. Fruit means income, means produce, means revenue, means yield. I ain't necessarily talking about money. I'm talking about God wants to yield some things, wants to use you. He wants to produce some things in your life if you'll be willing to have one of those years. Amen. Watch this now. When God takes you from somewhere, He always feeds where He leads. See, you don't understand. They got used to that manna. They got used to that rut, the same old, same old. Manna every day. Now God's got some old corn. They crossed over. Here's the farm. The old corn, the barns are there. And they did eat of the fruit of that land that year. Here's what I'm saying, child of God. God wants some of us to get off the milk and get on the meat. Amen. You might be sitting here lost and undone this morning. You're not saved. And I know crossing that river in your life is a hard thing to do. I remember being lost and undone 26 years ago, September the 18th. I thought, man, if I cross, that's a hard crossing. How am I going to do this? How can God forgive me of my sins? God did. God saved me. And I remember getting saved this evening. I said, I didn't want to be. I wouldn't even go to Sunday school and church all the time. I fell head over heels in love with Jesus. I ain't going every Wednesday night. Guess what happened? I went every Wednesday night. I said, I ain't going to be one of them shouting, slobbering, hollering, them old fanatical preachers. I don't want to. I is one now. Amen. And I like it. Amen. I like what God's called me. I can't be nobody else but me. Amen. And you can't be nobody else. But I'm just telling you, cross that river. Hey, child of God, when you sell out for God and go on, cross that river of service. Maybe you need to cross that river into salvation. Maybe you need to cross that river this morning into service. I don't know what your river is this morning. But I don't know about you, but I believe I'd make my mind up. I'm going to have that year. Some of you's been hit with a lot of hardships this year. Some of you's in a rut and a routine, same old, same old. Well, you know what? First thing I'd do, I'd come to church and I'd sit in a different pew, just change it up. Amen. I do that a lot of times when I preach revival, brother. I get them sitting in different pews. They're like, I ain't done enough sit here for years. Maybe that's the problem, amen. Maybe you need to change pews. Say amen right there, amen. I'm not trying to be mean. Change it up. Oh, if you ain't never said amen when Brother Vinoy's preaching, just shout amen. He might have a heart attack, amen. He might preach himself slammed to death and give himself lockjaw and he won't be able to talk for a month, amen. He's probably listening to me. He's going to rake me over the coals about this. That's all right, amen. Hey, but what I'm saying, listen, church, is this going to be that year? Can you have one of those years this year? You're tired of it being that way. You're tired of wandering in the wilderness and you're tired of the worldliness. And you just say, God, I'm going to cross that river that tears me down, that reproach, amen. I believe I'll get on the farm. I believe I'll eat of the fruit of the land, amen. Church, I'm just telling you, your Jubilee year is coming up. This could be that year.